victory. Then we've been using the phrase kingdom authority quite a bit. Now, one of the liberating truths that the Bible teaches us that God has granted to his children kingdom authority power. That was the power that the church at Ephesus had as children of God. And that same power that they had is available to us today. So in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16, if you remember, Paul was praying and he prayed for them and they had that power. And then Paul said, God, help them to know the power that's involved here. Let them understand what's available to them through the work of Christ. And help me, Lord, that in my preaching I might always help God's people to understand it. Well, honestly, that's what I'm trying to do, is to help you guys to understand a little bit about kingdom authority. So let me look over and try to find where I left off last week. I wasn't here last night. Anyway, the Bible also, I mentioned last week that the power behind us and that is in us comes from above us. Paul wants the Ephesians to have their eyes open to this power. God wants you and I to have our eyes open to this power. And we need to remember that Jesus is enthroned on high. He is above all principalities and power. We, in our identification with him, we are seated in the heavenlies with him there. So we read tonight Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, but that's what verses 4 through 6 talk about. Now, I also mentioned this last week. Satan also has principalities and powers. And so Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and those different things. And we described those a little bit. So Satan also rules in the sphere of spiritual activity. But Jesus is high above. We covered those things. And then I tried to, along with all the rest of the introduction, I wanted to give you three truths to learn. I mentioned these, a couple of them last week. First of all, I said that kingdom authority was glorious given. Remember when God created Adam and he said he had given Adam dominion over the fowls of the air and over the fish of the sea and over the animals of the land and all that stuff? God gave Adam dominion over all of those things. They were, Adam and Eve were appointed, you could almost say, kings and queens of the earth. Later, David wrote in Psalm 8 the very same thing. But the second thing we noticed was that power that was given to Adam and Eve was lost. Foolishly, legally lost. They blew it. It was Adam's, and he gave it away. So what Adam did was he took the authority and dominion that God had given him, and he gave it to who? Who remembers? He gave it to Satan. That's right. So, in Genesis chapter 3, that's what that's about. Now, the aim of Satan is to usurp authority. So now he's kind of got his kingdom. And right now, this earth is very much Satan's kingdom. Look, if you would, please, in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 17. That's where it said, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So, then, of course, you remember in Genesis chapter 3, they ate of that tree. Now, somebody said, while they promised them liberty, they themselves, Peter wrote this, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought into bondage. Now let me get into some newer stuff today. The owner of the slave owns the slave, and he also owns everything that the slave possesses. Now when they sinned, that is when Adam and Eve sinned, and they became Satan's bond slaves, they yielded to him their most prized possession. Now you think about what is your most prized possession. But their most prized possession that they had, that they foolishly yielded to Satan, was the dominion that God had bestowed upon them over his creation. And so that's why Satan could make such a boast to Jesus. Remember when Satan tempted Jesus after Jesus had fasted 40 days, and then he came along and he tempted the Savior? Now, where you read in Ephesians chapter 2, it also said this, the prince of the power of the air. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. In some ways, Satan is the god of this world. And so in Luke 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, the devil said unto him, Jesus, in his temptation, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Satan had the authority to do that. He could have given Jesus all that power. And he said, and to whomsoever I will give it. Satan could have given it to him. Because when Adam lost, foolishly lost, Satan took. Now, Satan really wasn't all that interested in Adam's dominion on the earth. What he really wants is God's throne in the highest of heavens. He tried that once. It didn't work out so good for him. Satan wants to steal what belongs to God. I hope everybody knows this. What is the one thing that God is most jealous over? Worship. That's the thing that God is most jealous over. It's worship and adoration and service of God's children. Now, Satan did not get dominion over a paradise, but Satan got dominion over a creation that is now ruined. It's a kingdom with a curse, and it brings forth thorns and thistles and death. Look in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Not only is the kingdom corrupted, guess who else got corrupted? Adam and Eve. Before Adam sold out to Satan, his spirit was alive with the presence of God. Do you realize he enjoyed uninterrupted, perfect, holy communion with God? What a privilege. He walked with God in the garden, the Bible told us. And he spoke with God without fear. I mean, he really had a prized possession. But when they fell, Adam and Eve, they fell from authority that they had enjoyed over God's creation, and they began to live in bondage. And they began to live in fear. They began to live in servitude to a new master. And now their new master is Satan. It's not God, it's the devil. Now he's the prince of this world. So Satan was handed the throne by Adam, who foolishly forfeited. And so what we find is God gave it to Adam. Adam, in a very, very real way, gave it to the devil. Now when what Satan had failed to do in heaven, he temporarily has achieved on the earth. Adam had been a holy temple with the Spirit of God abiding in him. But now the temple was defiled by sin, and God left it desolate. You see, here's what sin does, and you all know this. Sin separates God. Sin separates us from God, actually. And God moved out of Adam's spirit where there was once a spiritual man. He is now spiritually dead. What died? The spiritual connection that Adam had with God. So now, here's some of the results of that. Adam was now without the Lord. And you know what he was? He became depraved. He had a sinful nature. You say, why do people do what they do? Well, because they have a sinful nature. Because of the depravity of mankind. So he was without the Lord, he was depraved. He's without life. He was without spiritual life. Ephesians, where we read, said he was dead in trespasses and sins. And then he's without the light. So now he's darkened. So he's depraved, he's dead, and he's darkened. It was given to him. He lost it. Now I want you to try to keep up with what I'm going to say next. Kingdom authority was righteously regained. Now the answer to the question is easy. Who regained it? Christ regained it. That's the easy part. If Satan has usurped authority like this and created so much havoc in this world, and he has, why hasn't God done something about it? Why hasn't God stepped in to clean up the mess that Satan created when he got Adam to follow him? You see, if God did that, and he could do that, he could fix things, but it would not be in a way that would fulfill his righteous law. Now, let me try to explain that. God has his own standard of righteousness and holiness and justice. If the world's dominion was legally lost, it must be legally regained. Now, last week, if you remember what we read from Romans chapter 5, verses 9 through 21. So it was this legally, Adam gave the dominion of the earth back to Satan. It was legally lost. So now it's got to be legally gotten back. If authority, that's what Adam lost, was lost by a man, then it must be regained by a man. That's one of the reasons that Jesus had to come as a man. The power of Satan defeated the first man, Adam, and it must be destroyed by another man, the second Adam, or Jesus. That's Romans chapter 5. Dr. Schaefer said, who was a great writer and a theologian, he said about God's solution, God in his sheer power could have crushed Satan in his revolt by the use of that sufficient power, and God could have. But because of God's character and justice, it came before the use of power alone. Therefore, Christ died that justice, rooted in what God is, would be the solution. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It took one man to undo the damage of another man. Some of you have heard about Jesus being called the second Adam. Now I'm trying to explain it. Jesus, the second Adam, came to regain what the first Adam lost. Okay? 1 Corinthians says this, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Now, Adrian Rogers said not that long ago on the radio, he said, Jesus came as he did, born of a virgin, to be what he was, holy. If he had been the son of Adam with Adam's nature, he would have been a sinner, because in Adam all have sinned and all died. He would also have been a slave, for the son of a slave himself is a slave. So he could not have Adam's nature. Jesus, he said secondly, was what he was, holy, to do what he did. He redeemed us. What does the word redeem mean? It means to buy back. He came as a sinless man. He paid the full price for our sins and transgressions and iniquities. He satisfied God's righteous and holy law and nullified Satan's rights to Adam's domain. Jesus did what he did, redeem us, that we might have forgiveness and cleansing and remember the nature that Adam lost, his spiritually died, and he got a depraved nature. When Jesus came and granted forgiveness, he gives us a new nature. And with that new nature, which we get when we get born again, we get kingdom authority. He is the head of a new brand, you could almost say. Then, Jesus was born of a virgin that we might be born again. He became the Son of Man that we might become sons and daughters of God. And Jesus died in agony that you and I might live in victory. Now, I want you to think about something. Do you realize all of history comes down to two men? You either are in Adam or you are in Christ. If you're in Adam, you're lost. That's Romans 5. If you're in Christ, you're saved. If we choose Adam, we share in his fate, the way of death, judgment, and hell. But if we choose Christ, we share in his victory over death and hell and the grave and Satan and his eternal reward and fellowship with God. Jesus had to become a man, take on flesh and blood, and die to deal fully with the consequences of what had befallen every one of us. Nothing less than death could wipe away the blot of sin. And nothing less than the power of God could raise Christ from the dead. And so what Adam legally lost, we have righteously regained in Christ. And that's why, turn to Galatians chapter 4, that's why sometimes you hear a lot of preachers make a lot about the second Adam. Well, without the second Adam, we'd still be lost. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, you usually hear this at Christmas, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. So in kingdom authority, Jesus won back. And what he won back, he had to win back as a man, or as the second Adam. That's, you understand, I think, the incarnation of Christ. I'm going to read from John chapter 5. I should have told you to turn there, verse 26 and 7. For as the Father has life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now, Jesus had righteousness because he was God's son. But he had authority on earth because he was the Son of Man without sin. I hope you guys are following this. Mm-hmm. Satan came against the last Adam as he did the first Adam. So he came against the first Adam, and that Adam gave in. He came and tempted Jesus, not as God, but as man, because God cannot be tempted. Jesus knew his confrontation with the devil would come. Satan not going down without a fight. Let's read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. This is one of the passages that records the account that I mentioned earlier, which I thought about reading tonight, but I thought Ephesians 2 was better. Verse number 1 in Matthew 4. Then was Jesus led up into the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So I said Jesus was tempted as a man because God cannot be tempted. So this was the humanity side of Jesus in his incarnation where he was tempted. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The devil taketh them up into the holy city, Jerusalem, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. So this is what he said. He said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, because he had dominion over the earth. All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So what worked on the first Adam did not work on the second Adam. When he tempted the first Adam, that Adam fell. But when he tempted the second Adam, that Adam stood true. Now, Jesus did not defeat Satan in the wilderness or at the Temple Mount by pulling rank and using supernatural powers. You recall, he did no miracles in this battle. He simply said the Word of God, and he quoted the Word of God, and he said the Word of God, and then he told Satan to beat it. Now, he defeated Satan not as God, but as a perfect man. And as a perfect man, his two weapons were then and are today sufficient for our victory in spiritual warfare. How he gives us back kingdom authority. What were his two weapons? Number one was obvious, as it is written. The first weapon is the Word of God. We can never make too much of the Word of God. The second weapon he had was the Spirit of God. We have those very same two weapons that Jesus had. That's why we can have kingdom authority, because we have the Spirit of God indwelling in us, and we have the Word of God to show us what God wants us to do. Now, what happened? Kingdom authority changed hands one more time. So Adam had it. He lost it. Satan got it. Legally, reverting its power to all of us who are believers in Christ, Jesus gained it back again. So now we can enjoy kingdom authority. The laws of sin and death are no longer binding on us. Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. So the laws of sin and death are no longer binding on us. We have been given the gift of everlasting, eternal life. So those things aren't binding on us. Now, and we read this last week too, if you think about Ephesians chapter 1, Paul's beautiful prayer there, and he was excited about the church at Ephesus. He said, man, this church is doing good. This people are being saved, and this church is headed in the right direction. And Paul says, God, I hope they really can understand what kingdom authority is all about. You can almost see why Paul prayed for our eyes to be opened, that we might really understand the power that's available to us. Now, this is something I'm convinced of. I'm convinced that most Christians don't have a clue as to power that is available to them. You hear people talk about some of the great preachers of the past, D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Brother Rudy when he was here. Brother Rudy just loved Dr. Falwell. And he had a lot of good Dr. Falwell stories. They were good. And you remember Rudy Holland? He goes, Brother Falwell used to call me, because he used to call me Rudolph. He goes, nobody else ever called me Rudolph but him. But just, and you'll hear these guys and the things that they've done for the Lord. I have books over in my office, and some of them are great preaching on and Christ, the resurrection, the virgin birth, Christmas, all different subjects, 4th of July. And man, it's like a who's in the name of preachers in there. I mean, great preachers. Do you realize the same power that they have is available to you and I? The same power that the Apostle Paul had. Now, we don't have apostolic authority. The same power that Paul had is available to us. And I would pray that we can understand it and that we can grasp it. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful that Jesus came as a man in his incarnation and born of a virgin. And what Adam lost, pretty much gave away, he regained. And so now, again, we are not slaves to sin and death. Actually, we should be servants unto you in righteousness. So may we grasp the idea that you got kingdom authority back, and because you are our head, it's available to us. I pray we'd understand it. I pray we'd be encouraged by it. I pray we'd be excited about it. That we realize that we can walk in victory through Christ who loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. So kingdom authority was granted, and then it was lost, and now it's been regained.